is CBS Eye on the World. Here's John Batchelor.
This is CBS Eye on the World. I'm John Batchelor. Continuing with Professor Barry Strauss, Emeritus Cornell University, a senior fellow at the Hoover Institution in Palo Alto, California. His new book is Jews versus Rome. This is two centuries of rebellion by the Jewish warriors against the mightiest empire that ever existed on the planet until now and maybe forever, Rome. Now we come to a part where Jerusalem has been vanquished, destroyed, sold into slavery, murdered. The temple's destroyed, but it is not complete because there are Jews scattered across the Roman world. And sometimes the scattering is quite a substantial communities. In the Parthian Empire, unconquered by Rome, all along North Africa, certainly in Italy itself, everywhere there are Jews who are substantially well-to-do and rebellious, just like the original Lot back in Jerusalem. And the emperor is Trajan, and he begins an expedition to conquer Parthia. What do we need to know about Trajan, Professor?
So Trajan was a military man, more than most of the emperors, and he had a particular relationship to the Jews in Judea because his father had been one of Vespasian's chief lieutenants. So his father had taken place in the suppression of the Jewish revolt back in the 60s. So Trajan is well aware of the Jews and the trouble they can cause for Rome, and he wants to keep them quiet while he is engaged in what he sees as the acme of his life's work, conquering the Parthian Empire. But just the opposite happens.
He is marching, Parthia is to the east of Jerusalem or of Judea. He's marching across a landscape that is rugged, just like it is today. Yes. And then something happens that's very suggestive of coordination. Suddenly there are revolts, not in one place, not in two places, but everywhere there is a Jewish population, there's a revolt. It's very mysterious, Barry. What do we think is happening?
Well, so this revolt, it begins in what is today Libya, Cyrenaica, northeastern Libya, and spreads to Egypt and then to Cyprus. Meanwhile, so in early on in his war with Parthia, Trajan conquers what is now Iraq, Mesopotamia, all the way down to the Persian Gulf. And then suddenly there's an insurgency there rising up against him. And among the various peoples involved in the insurgency, Jews are very prominent. The Jewish communities of Iraq are leading the charge against the Romans. It's a little hard to believe that all of this just happens and that it has no connection with the Parthians, the Parthian resistance. And it's hard to believe that there isn't any communication between the Parthians and the rebels in the West. We can't prove it, but like I said, it strains credulity on my part that it's just an accident and not part of a coordinated revolt against Rome. Because it's a big challenge for Rome. Jewish communities in those areas are very large, and Egypt is one of the most strategic parts of the Roman Empire. Why? Because Egypt is the breadbasket of the Roman Empire, and it feeds Rome. It's got some of the most fertile farmland in the ancient world. The Romans can't afford to lose it. Alexandria is the second largest city in the empire after Rome. And so Trajan is forced to divert a legion from the war against Parthia and send it to Egypt to suppress the rebellion.
Trajan is a first-rate soldier. And the second century AD of Rome's 15 or 16 centuries is the best they had it. Trajan followed by Hadrian. These guys are running everything they touch. It is amazing that somebody coordinates a strike against them. You don't want to, there's no Josephus around here to invent this time. He died in what, about 100, somewhere around?
Around 100, yeah.
So we don't have a single telling. What sources do we have for Trajan's frustration?
Yeah, well, we have to piece it together because unfortunately, we're also missing the sources that would give us a detailed account of the Parthian War. So bits and snatches that have survived are the historian. There were historians at the time who wrote about it. We have a few quotations from them. We have some material in later sources writing about it. We have some material in the Church Fathers, but we also have a lot of papyri from Egypt that are very useful in piecing the story together. And some of my fellow scholars have done remarkable work. I'm just cleaning up after them, but they've done remarkable work in piecing together a narrative of what happened in this revolt. And it really is a detective story. We're so poorly informed. There's some archaeology also in Libya that shows signs of the destruction that was carried out by the rebels against Roman temples, Roman buildings. So we have some additional evidence, but it's a hard story to tell, hard story to piece together.
Professor, this was the first time I ever heard of a diaspora revolt. Is this a fresh revelation? I can't say that I didn't not listen during the lecture, but I remember it's supposed to go right from Jerusalem to Bar Kokhba. What happened? And all of a sudden, this.
Two things, really. First of all, it is a very hard story to tell, and scholars have done great work in the last generation in advancing our knowledge of what happened. But there are two other reasons we don't hear much about it. One is that Jewish history has not been integrated to the need it should be, to the degree it should be, into the history of the ancient Greco-Roman world. We just tend to think of the Jews on the margins or the seedbed of Christianity, which indeed they were in very important subjects, but we don't integrate it fully. Secondly, the Zionist narrative, which has done wonders for increasing our knowledge of ancient Jewish history, tends to focus on the land of Israel and not on the diaspora. So for a variety of reasons, the diaspora gets short shrift. And I think it is important to add this to the story. Also very important to realize that the Jewish community of Alexandria was really one of the greatest ones of the ancient world, possibly the largest Jewish city in the ancient world. And it is wiped out by the suppression of this revolt. It's nothing less than a disaster for diaspora Judaism in the Roman Empire. So very significant.
Are there the same arguments in the different communities across the Mediterranean basin? Don't revolt, you'll be crushed. And the same apocalyptic reasoning that we saw in Jerusalem, does it repeat itself?
Yes. I mean, we know that some of the survivors of the rebellion in Judea fled to Egypt and to Libya. Some of them stir up trouble there, and they are captured and executed not long after the suppression of the revolt in Judea. But some of their followers must have survived and continued, kept the torch burning, the torch of rebellion burning. The other thing we haven't mentioned, but it's very important to mention, is the thing that the Romans do under Vespasian that continues, that is a spur for revolt, and that is the Jewish tax, the Fiscus Judaicus. Romans have never done anything like this before. They impose a tax on every Jew in the empire, whether he had anything to do with the revolt in Judea or not. And every Jew is expected to pay an annual tax, not just to Rome, but to the chief god of Rome, to Jupiter of the Capitoline Hill. It is insulting for poor people. It's a financial burden. And it's something shocking, I think, for a lot of people. In addition to this, Jewish prophecy was that the temple would be rebuilt within 70 years. That's what the prophets had said before the destruction of the temple in Jerusalem by the Neo-Babylonians, destruction of the first temple in 586 BCE. And there was a hope and an expectation that the temple would be rebuilt this time, also within 70 years of its destruction. And I think that some of the rebels were frustrated by this, and that's another reason for them to rebel. Also, the fact that Parthia was at risk, and many Jews, as I said, looked to Iran, ancient Iran, and thought, our salvation will come from these people. and they could not allow the Romans to destroy this place. So there are all sorts of reasons for the rebellion.
Trajan persists, however, as long as he can. And the Parthians are badly mauled by the Roman army. But comes a point where God steps in, and Trajan suffers a stroke and cannot go on, and he's replaced by Hadrian,
right,
the next emperor. And when we come back, what does it mean for the Jews? And also, what does it mean for the Jews who are looking to the restoration of the temple? At this point, 2,000 years ago, they're looking for the restoration of the temple. We're still looking for it. Barry Strauss is the author, Jews versus Rome, two centuries of rebellion against the mightiest empire. I'm John Batchelor.